Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This can be found on page 1160 of your pew Bible. Paul prays that the fullness of God may indwell believers through the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our reading from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
The year was 1990. It was the first extended time that Ingrid and I and the kids would send out of the country. We were spending a month in Toronto to attend the Toronto Institute of Linguistics. We were there to learn how to learn languages. So we were learning things about diphthongs and aspirated guttural things that really keep you up at night. Not really. But the process there was a great location because we were at King's College in the center of Toronto. Any of you have been there? Has the wonderful quad that you get to experience. It was my first experience with World Cup, you know, the world's beautiful game. All that international community celebrating, I was being drawn into a love for the world's beautiful game, the real football, but let's not go there right now. We were preparing to go to Africa, and the Natural History Museum just across the street was having a whole presentation on African art. It was like it was set up for us, except we had three kids, three-year-old twins and a one-year-old, and we were staying in a dorm room. So we would study how to study languages for 8 hours during the day, and we'd have to capture time to care for ourselves. And Ingrid and I wanted to continue exercising. Worked best for her in the afternoon, so I would give her an hour where I would play with the kids, and I would take off at our hour lunch. I found four other runners who wanted to run 5 miles, as I did. We figured we had a half an hour. You need a couple minutes to get ready, half an hour to run, and about a half an hour to get the sweat to stop. So you go back to class, and 5 miles in 30 minutes, we set out at a 6-minute pace. Now, it worked perfectly because each of us would kick at the right time and draw the others along. So for a month, it was some of the most wonderful running that I've done in my life. 6-minute miles for 5 miles. Come on, look at me. Yeah. That was a lame clap. So we came back to New Jersey, and I thought, you know, I'm going to run in a road race. I had never done that before, and there was a 4-miler on the 4th of July, and I signed up for it, and I thought, so I've been running 5 miles at a 6-minute pace. I should be able to do this in 24 minutes. So I went out the first click at 5:24. I'm over a half a minute ahead of my time. Next click, 5:42. I'm even getting better in my time. Started losing some at 6:22 for the third one. And the fourth one was 7 minutes and plus. I didn't make it in my 24 minutes. Basically, I ran out of gas. They actually ran to me, even though it was 90 degrees and 90% humidity. Oh, I forgot to tell you that fact. In Toronto, there's no humidity. It was 90 degrees and 90% humidity. Even though it was that hot, they ran to me with thermal blankets because I was completely in a different state. I didn't even know where I was at that moment. So I completely exhausted my fuel. Now, there's a lot of lessons in that. First of all, I did not run the race marked out for me. I was never intended to do extended 5-minute miles. Maybe you could say I lost my identity in that time. But I also ran alone. It was only my strength that I was depending on, that I didn't have other people to bring me along. We're in this series, In Christ. Our identity in Christ changes everything. And we're going to find in Paul's second entry about his prayer life that God has given us a provision not only to know our identity, but to live it out in the day-to-day so that we would know our full purpose. Remember our identity. We're loved and we belong, but we've been put on earth to have a purpose and to be involved in his kingdom advance. So let's go to Paul's prayer, of at least his expression of how he's been praying for the believers, to see what resources are here for us, beginning in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Three times, Paul is going to use this phrase, for this reason. Interestingly, the first time was in chapter 1 when he launches to tell them how he's been praying for them. Do you remember how he prays for them? That they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they would know the hope and the inheritance and the power that is theirs. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand. Here, he's going to say, for this reason, and he's going to go into praying some power things for them. Again, it seems to be a reflex in him. But those of you who have your Bible open, if you look back to verse 1 in chapter 3, he says, for this reason. So from verses 1 through 13, Paul is on a rabbit trail. Because if you look at what he prays, it almost matches by theme back to what he finished in chapter 2. So think about it this way. I think a lot of times we think of Paul sitting in a big desk with all of his books, and he's thinking about all these words. Paul is in incarceration. He's in prison, and he's probably walking around the cell, and it's probably Tychicus who's writing all this down. And all of a sudden, Paul gets distracted and goes off in a different direction before where he wanted to go. Now, this is one of the things I love about our scriptures. To think of the Holy Spirit hovering over this whole process of this coming to us without dictating. He uses Paul's rabbit trails. It makes me feel so much better about my preaching. See, the Holy Spirit will still hover over us. He doesn't manipulate us and control us, but he's trying to influence us in the right direction. And Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He's showing the intensity of his prayer. It was common in that day for Jewish men to pray looking to heaven with their hands open. You kneeled at the intensity of the moment. I had a flashback in the first service while Austin was playing the saxophone. Wasn't that beautiful? Holy, holy, holy. Some of you couldn't resist. You started singing. But I was transferred to my grandfather's country church in Mahaffey, Pennsylvania. He was a circuit preacher, and so he would go preach at one service, and the other service would start, and he would come in. You could hear the wheels squealing around the corner when he came in, and he'd come running up the side because it was getting close. But the last thing he would do before he would preach is he would kneel. He would kneel before the holy, sacred desk, because he knew what he was about to do was extremely important, deliver God's word. And Paul's about ready to deliver something that if we will allow it to grip our hearts, will change everything about our reality. He says, I pray to the Father that according to the riches of his glory, okay, Father, Son, and Spirit are going to be mentioned in this. This is the triune God pouring out into us. I pray according to the riches of the Father's glory. Paul is opening up the storehouses of heavenly glory for us. I mean, come with me now on the depth and the richness of what Paul's praying for us. He's taking us beyond praying for temporary things. He's praying for God's richness to be opened to us, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That we would be strengthened. You see, we think in life that when I've got to get something done, I have to put more energy in. But Paul uses a passive verb here, that we would be strengthened by whom? By the Holy Spirit. That we would not try to accomplish these things in our spiritual life. The desires that we have to be more like Jesus, to be his presence in this world, it's not us putting our best effort. It's us submitting to the Spirit working through us. This is just the beginning of what he says. He goes on and gives us three mays, or what are the results that he's hoping will happen from this. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, doesn't that seem odd to you? He's been talking about the fact that we're in Christ. He's been celebrating our union with Christ. In fact, the very first week, I used this quote from 2 Corinthians 3:5. Paul says, "Do you not know this about yourselves? Jesus Christ is in you." So what's he mean when he says that Christ would dwell in your hearts? He's asking us again to take the longest journey on earth. It's a 12-inch journey. The things that we hear in our heads, they become reality in our hearts. Paul is basically saying, you've done some good work. You've gotten 8 inches towards it, but it's time to be gripped with how much you know you are loved in Christ. I pray this over us this morning as we were preparing. Lord, everybody who comes into this sanctuary today, may they know how much you're wooing them in your love. I'll take you back to something I don't even know when I said it, but when we get to heaven, God's not going to have a whole lot to say to us but this: do you know how much I love you? Did you know how much I love you? Because that changes everything. Your whole world can fall apart, but if God's love is something that you feel in your heart, whew, I better slow down. I'm going to have a heart attack here. And he uses two images. Rooted, that it would be deep, that it would be growing, and grounded, that it would be foundational for our life. Then he goes on, that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. See, he's not convinced that we're convinced yet. Rooted and grounded in love, but you would know the surpassing reality of it. It's interesting. Look, you have to stop and read your Bible slowly, because you'll see things that will make your mind twist. He says, you may have the strength to comprehend. I would expect Paul to say something different, that you would have the wisdom to comprehend, right? Doesn't that make more sense? Or the discernment, or even the understanding to comprehend. He says that you would have the strength, because Paul knows that we're in a war for our identity, and our identity will always be unsure until it's settled in the love of Christ. And here Paul's using temple language again. Remember, he finished chapter 2 saying that we together are becoming a dwelling place for God, a temple for him to be praised. Now he talks about the width and the width and the length and the height and the depth. This is the language used to speak of the Ark of the Covenant and the temple, which were the places of the presence of God. He's basically saying, do you know how much God is releasing into you out of your union with God through Christ? Remember, he started every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in chapter 1. Now he's unloading them. In case we're still missing it, he says that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Come on. My little thimble of an existence with the oceans of the character of God, I can be filled with the fullness of God? I was ordained by the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I still hold my license with them. Our founder was A.B. Simpson, was someone who was very much moved by the work of the Holy Spirit, and God used him to change countries by him being available and yielded to God. He said this: I not only want to be full of the Holy Spirit, I want to be enlarged to receive more of the Spirit. Now, that's an enlarging worthwhile. fullness of the Spirit to take on more of what God has for us. Paul can't contain himself. He gets to this point in the passage and he breaks into doxology. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to the power which is at work within us. To him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Amen. It's Paul's inclusio, those men who were on retreat last week. Gad gave us that great teaching on how to read narrative in the Old Testament, and he used the idea of inclusio. You see the inclusio here. It's to the riches of his glory, and it's his glory that would be released, working within us, the power of God changing everything about our reality. So what's the so what of this passage? Paul wants us to realize that in Christ, our identity is sure, and that God has given us every provision out of the triune God. Every aspect, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is waiting to pour into our lives. The riches of the Father's glory, the overabounding love of Jesus, and the full flow of the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is make ourselves accessible to it. See, I love this church because there's a lot of people in here like me. You're all type A's. Well, not all of you, but a good portion of you. Type A's are used to getting things done. We know how to put effort to bring things forward. We know how to push through when everything is against us. But in the spirit life, you don't push through. You yield to what God wants to do, and then he accomplishes it. Every resource is sitting there waiting for us to take in to experience the fullness of God. There's two imperatives that Paul is going to give us about the Spirit. We've been in indicative Paul for a while. First three chapters, except for verse 12 of chapter 2, have been Paul talking about the things that God has already declared about us that are true. He's going to start moving us into some imperatives. If you don't know the difference between indicative and imperative, go back and watch the tape of the first passage, because I explain it there. But after we get this impartation from God and all of these blessings, we then need to act on them. So Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I'll remind you, he's not saying work for your salvation. This is God's impartation that he's put within us. But he's going to tell us some things about the Spirit when we come to the end of Ephesians. In chapter 4, he's going to say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, there's the obvious one when we sin or in disobedience. But I don't think that upsets the Holy Spirit as much as when we try to do it in our own strength. Think about it. The Holy Spirit is sitting here waiting to fill your life with the fullness of God and the measure of Christ, every bit of your being. And you would say, hang on to that. I got this one. And remember, Paul is speaking to the church, plural here. It's not just an individualistic thing. When will we grieve the Spirit? Because the only thing Stanwich has going for it is that we lift up Jesus, and for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit likes to drip off these walls. Amen. That's the only thing that makes a difference here. The second command, Paul says, is not in the negative, it's in the positive. He says, keep on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't understand some of these Bible translators, why they don't translate it the way, in the ESV it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a once done. But in the original language, it says, keep on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we leak. Paul talks of another passage that we are vessels of clay. Well, really, you're just a bunch of cracked pots. And we leak. That's why it's important every day to come back and say, Lord, I want the filling again. I want all that you have for me. I don't want to try to muster up what's needed to live out my identity in Christ. I want your fullness. Interesting, that word to be continually be filled is a nautical term. It's one that Paul likes a lot. It would have been the term used to say when a sail was filled with the wind and would take a ship forward. So I like to use my sanctified imagination. Maybe Paul is in his prison cell and he's thinking back to one of his missionary journeys when the ship was just sitting there, not going anywhere. And all of a sudden, the captain of the ship says, "Hoist the sail." And all of a sudden, the wind comes ripping in it and the sail moves that ship along. It's interesting because the Holy Spirit in the Hebrew language is the word ruach, which is both breath and wind. Jesus says to Nicodemus, the Spirit blows where he will. Maybe the fact of having a fruitful Christian life is not by rowing our boat quicker, but by hearing the captain say, "Hoist the sail." And let the wind of the Spirit take us where we're supposed to go. Some of you are sailors, you know the word doldrum, what it really means. I grew up hearing my grandfather say, "We're in the doldrums." I just thought it meant you were depressed. But I've learned it's a sailing term for what happens often on the equator when the winds come together and a sailboat is no longer able to move. One of our members on the way out was telling me today that he got stuck in the doldrums for 5 days in the South China Sea. And they were desperate for life. He said the first 2 days were just fighting through the fear. Well, it's not your job to determine when the Spirit blows and how he blows, but your job is to simply hoist the sail. Amen. So how do you do that? It's by yielding to what God wants to do. See, God doesn't want to pour out his fullness to bless your plans. Amen. I mean, that must have been good. Somebody laughed. God does not want to pour out his fullness to bless your plans. But he wants to have you yielded so that he would affect his purposes and plans through you. See, Paul is talking here about an ancient desire that was in the people, because in the Old Testament, I really want to go off on a theology of the Holy Spirit right now, because I think God is waiting to release something in us in fresh ways. But there are two instances in the Old Testament where it says God was going to first put his Spirit within us. This is what we refer to in the New Testament as the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is what you get in Jesus. Romans 8 tells us if you are in Christ, you have the Spirit. We do not need to go looking for the Spirit. Jesus, in talking about those who are thirsty, mentioned that there was a fountain or a spring in us ready to burst forth. That is the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, it also says the Lord was going to pour himself out. That's a baptism. That's a filling. And I don't want to get into the time of distinguishing all those things. Maybe someday we'll get back to that. But we all need an outpouring of the Spirit in our lives. Amen. Amen. Isn't it interesting? Hoist the sails is a lot like yielding. Amen. So, Lord, now, you know what every one of us desires. Holy Spirit, for the person who has resisted up to this point, would you come and dwell in them to give them what they've been longing for? And for all of us, Lord, would you pour out a fresh outpouring of your bounty? Transform us, Lord. Make us people that are different and more like Jesus, because our world needs it. We take hold. We agree. We lose control for the sake of you being in control and doing what you want to do in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.